Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. It's sweltering here, but not too bad after the thunderstorm last night. And despite all the hysteria from the global warming fanatics. Brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. About our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Just a quick note, On Fire Ministries, we are meeting at the Doubletree Hotel downtown, 10 a.m. every Sunday for service. Also, we have live stream on Facebook and YouTube. We're going to try to get it across all the live stream platforms at one time. We're working on that right now, but if you want to live stream On Fire Ministries on Sundays, you can go to YouTube and the On Fire Ministries page. We're also going to be making sure to post across the alternative media platforms, specifically Gab, since they have been absolutely fantastic, not only defending freedom, but defending the kingdom, defending Christendom. And I use that term intentionally. Western civilization. Now, I want to talk quickly about strategies and tactics of the communists, but as it applies to the church as well. And I want to kind of dive into some details with this. So I'm going to cite some primary source documents. You may want to write these down. I'll repeat them a couple of times. The first is the Mitroikan Archives, M-I-T-R-O, I think it's K-I-H-N, Mitroikan Archives. It was detailed in a book called The Sword and the Shield. There's also several books on the Venona transcripts, V-E-N-O-N-A, Venona transcripts, The Haunted Wood and some other ones that detailed what was in the Venona transcripts. Now, the Mitroikan Archives were the largest archives smuggled out of the KGB to the United States, and the Venona transcripts were the broken Soviet cables. So the United States actually cracked the Soviet cables, broke the Soviet cables. Senator Joseph McCarthy actually had access to the Venona transcripts, which is why he was so confident on particular high-level individuals in Hollywood being communists, because they had broken the Soviet cables. A lot of people don't know that history. Here is where I want to talk about strategies and tactics that we know now, because we had access and have access to these primary source documents from the former Soviet Union. So one of the Soviet tactics was to create controlled opposition. And so quite literally, these people would look like they were opposing what was going on, what the Marxist agenda was. But actually, they worked for the Marxists themselves. And in the United States, we've seen this with, you know, the federal informants down at the Bundy Ranch, down at Malheur. We saw this with Hal Turner, who was a self-proclaimed right-wing neo-Nazi, and He was totally outrageous, tried to get a lot of conservatives to his side, but it ends up he was an FBI informant. And there have been details about many, many types of people like this that lead movements. There was an article, a news article that came out about the leader of the Proud Boys here a few months ago. And I want to highlight the tactic and the strategy. So the strategy of the Marxists is to create false flags. They create boogeymen, if you will, in order to justify increasing control mechanisms over a population. So in other words, they will gin up a bad guy. A lot of times in the former Soviet Union, it was Jews. A lot of times in the former Soviet Union, it was the kulaki, the kulaks, those who were the productive members of society. A lot of times it was anybody that tried to hoard food. They created a character named Pavlik Morozov. Some of you you've heard of that name, who allegedly turned his parents in for hoarding food and then was killed and was treated as a martyr. If he ever actually existed, there's some dispute over that. I don't want to get into that today. So what they would do is they would create a false enemy to justify the taking away of God-given unalienable rights, the crackdown of the Soviets on free speech, on the right to bear arms, on freedom of religion, on the right to assemble, on all of these different things here in America, we would say were unalienable rights. So what we have seen now happen is they are intentionally sending FBI informants to go into, and we have primary source documents on this that are dispersed widely to multiple sources, that detail how they have tried to infiltrate churches, how they have tried to infiltrate patriot organizations. And now today, and I'll get to this on the intelligence briefing, an article has come out that has a lot of people's eyebrows raised. A lot. But know this. If you start seeing people in churches trying to corral a lot of folks and then start saying or promoting, you know, fairly outrageous stuff, you have to ask yourself a question: is this legitimate? And they might be. But in the former Soviet Union, for example, 1963, when the confessing church, the Church of Jesus Christ, split from the state church, most of the state church leaders in the Orthodox Church, they're called metropolitans, that's actually a title, they were working for the KGB. And they were actually trying to co-opt Protestant pastors, and in some cases were successful to co-opt these Protestant pastors, and they became informants against people who were in the confessing church, even. And the way that you knew who these informants were is, it would seem like everybody around them would get harassed in the media, in the local area, would suffer loss to their business, would be investigated falsely. And you notice what's happened to President Trump and yours truly over here over the last 3 years. These people would be investigated. They would be harassed. Some of them would end up in jail or in the gulag and prison camps. But the way that you knew who these informants were is they didn't end up being harassed or investigated or sent to the gulag. But they were always in a leadership role and yet never, ever seeming to be rolled up. And I'm not just talking, you know, negative you know, media articles, but where actual investigations have been done into these people. Okay. And that wouldn't happen. And so you could know who these informants were just based on the fact that they weren't really suffering or going through the fire. Now, you got to be careful with this stuff because, but what I'm trying to prompt everybody out there in Patriot Radio Land is think about this, because I'm going to talk about some things that are happening here in Washington State right now that are pretty alarming. And we need to know and understand this tactic of communists and Marxists to create controlled opposition and create false flags. Because as it's coming out about January 6th, it's becoming clearer and clearer that there were, at the very least, informants working, prompting things, setting things up at the Capitol. All right. Now, that's the briefing on that part of it. Now, I want to shift over to the international front for your daily intelligence briefing. And I'm going to jump up to the world level on what's happening in the Middle East. This is fascinating. We talked about there was an admission here a couple of weeks ago that the Libyans had been targeted by drones, Turkish drones, in Libya as part of that civil war that's going on here. Now, the U.S. and Israel this month conducted, and this coming to us from Debka File, the U.S. and Israel this month conducted counter-drone tests to meet the urgent need to defend civilian infrastructure and military bases against the fast-spreading threat of hostile UAV warfare, unmanned aerial vehicle warfare. So in New Mexico, they tested a tactical high-power operational responder. They actually call it THOR, I kid you not. Tactical high-power operational responder. And Israel also recently revealed airborne high-powered laser systems. So these are intentional countermeasures to defend against drones that are attacking troops, or maybe even these kamikaze style swarm attacks by explosive unmanned aircraft that happened in Libya. Also on the international front, coming to us from Debka File, again, just an underscore, when you see certain neoconservatives, so these are people that are rhinos that really want to foment unending wars overseas. Now, as all of you know, I am for a strong and robust United States that defends itself. But I also understand how this stuff happens overseas now. And one of the people you have to watch is Senator Lindsey Graham. And now from Debka File, we hear this, quote, "I've never been more worried about an Iran-Israel war," end quote. So again, they're ginning it up in the Middle East. You can see that article on Debka File for yourself. Okay, now shifting gears. Shifting gears. I want to talk about what's happening in this country with the Marxists and the communists and how they are now attacking average Americans, and particularly leaders. And then I'm going to give some good news as well. But right now, there's just all this stuff happening. President Trump is continuing to go through this, coming to us from Populist Press. And the original article talks about, and this is from MSN, if you can believe that, talks about how Trump and his company and its CFO are now the subject of an indictment. Now this is, they're now trying, now we're at the stage of criminalization of opposing beliefs, criminalization of those people disagree with. And this is two steps away from genocide in the taxonomy that you can read historically, glean historically. Okay, so demonization has occurred. Now criminalization is happening. And this is two steps away from genocide in a country when you start seeing these things happen. So specifically, I want to talk about the NSA and originally when Bill Binney created the architecture and the structure for capturing communications, it was overseas, and everyone inside the United States was completely anonymized. Now, deep state operatives like Clapper changed all of that. And they allowed for the spying on U.S. citizens. Now it is coming out. We knew there was spying on President Trump, and now Tucker Carlson has come out. And today, Stephen Bannon has also come out in regards to this. There was an interview on Newsmax, and you can read this article on Populist Press. Quote, outside of this interview, they're speaking of the Newsmax interview, we can confirm that Stephen Bannon was spied on by an illegal FISA warrant from 2016 through December 2019. This coincides with the bogus charges brought on by the federal government against We Build the Wall leaders, who were also on the illegal FISA warrants. There is a part of the NSA, is the most aggressive cyber arm of the NSA, called the, quote, Tailored Access Operations, end quote. And this is coming to us from Sebastian Gorka, who is talking about this. And they were routing the communications through Malaysia and treating them as foreign communications to justify the spying of U.S. citizens. Now, I've talked about this on the show before, where what they'll do is essentially say it's a foreign country that's doing that, even though the foreign country is sharing it with our own government, to get around laws on spying against U.S. citizens. But Stephen Bannon now coming out. So Tucker Carlson, so first Trump, Tucker Carlson, Stephen Bannon now claiming that the NSA and Sebastian Gorka specifically, that the NSA has been spying on Steve Bannon for a long time. 2016 to 2019. All right. This brings up a couple of things that are kind of disgusting. And the first is, why would the NSA spy on its own citizens? And the reason obviously is for political purposes, but it's for control as well. And it is to manufacture things. Manufacture false flags, for example. Now, coming to us from the National File, a report now suggests that Ashley Babbitt's killer was Secret Service agent assigned to Mike Pence. Quote, unquote. We don't know that for sure. There was another speculation on it. But the fact of the matter is people were left to speculate because there is clearly an apparent cover-up of who actually pulled the trigger there. In addition to that, you have continued cover-up in regards to the COVID gene therapy. This is coming to us from LifeSite News. Huge red flag. Medical researchers bury data showing 82%. I'm going to read this again. Medical researchers bury data showing 82% miscarriage rate in vaccinated women. Now, this article has been pulled for temporary review so they can clarify the data. I'm looking forward to seeing where this comes because, as we detailed a couple of days ago, the numbers out of Europe put the total death count at over 70,000 between the European Union and the United States. It's going to be interesting to see this. But what is the true miscarriage rate for COVID? Why is that being covered up? Even if it was 10%, why aren't we hearing about that? Why does it appear that our economy is now being set up to crash? This coming to us from the Palmieri report, Peter Navarro, economy is going to, quote, crash hard, end quote. He was on Steve Bannon's War Room. Former Trump advisor Peter Navarro, the economy is going to crash and crash hard. He called the economy a, quote, cocaine economy. At some point, if we continue to just print money, the economy will crash. Navarro also makes another brilliant point. He points out all of the different silos in the Democrat Party, the open border silo, the tyrannical lockdown silo, the Green New Deal silo, the tax hike silo, all of those things designed to lead to chaos. And I completely agree. This is all about destabilizing the United States and this republic. And in addition to that, destabilizing eventually the food supply chain here in this country. I'm telling you right now, everybody listening to my voice, prepare. If you do not have 2 years' supply of food, you need to start getting toward that. You don't need to do it all at once. But right now, while food is still relatively cheap, even though right now, 25% increase in a lot of different food items on the shelves. And most people that are going to the grocery store know exactly what I'm talking about. And what they want to do is create this food supply crisis. And of course, government has a solution. Coming to us from Technocracy News, quote, world's first mega lab grown meat factory to produce 5,000 burgers per day. So they're creating now a mega lab grown meat factory. Disgusting. Because they want to replace the cattle ranchers with this. Now, they are going to, again, create a supply chain crisis. We come against that in Jesus' name. That's their intent. And then turn around and say, oh, we've got to go to this fake meat. And oh, by the way, the ranchers and farmers are using and are just eventually unsustainable. Right, that's where they want to go with this. So understand where we're at. Get prepared. Now that brings me to I'm not even going to talk about the Washington Post today, but I am going to talk about Revolver. So Revolver came out with an article today, or actually it was yesterday, that has raised a lot of eyebrows, alleging, quote, federal protection of Oath Keepers kingpin Stuart Rhodes breaks the entire Capitol insurrection lie wide open, end quote. The article is extremely lengthy and raises a series of significant questions about whether or not the federal government, and specifically the FBI, is protecting Stuart Rhodes. In multiple indictments, people that have already been arrested, it has been alleged that Stuart Rhodes started a chat on a secured text message service, and yet he has not been arrested, dealt with. And so this article brings up some significant points. I don't want to steal all of it. And we're going to try to get the author on next week to talk about this. And I want to see what Stuart's response is to this, but raises a very, very big question mark right now. And this goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Where else are they infiltrating? Are they infiltrating in the church? Where else? And this goes to the last thing I want to talk about today. This comes to us from The New American. A January 6th defendant required to, quote, confess her sins for leniency. In other words, had to go through re-education. They quite literally gave her a book list to read, and then she had to be scrutinized as to whether her beliefs actually changed, and then she had to confess her sins publicly. Reminiscent of that very well-known scene in the movie Braveheart, do you confess? And he doesn't even answer. This, again, is a communist tactic. Mao Zedong did exactly this. They were called shaming sessions. And so we are quite literally witnessing this in our time. In our time. On the regional front, I want to talk about two things. The first, Rich Higgins, a true American hero. I posted up on a bunch of the social media platforms for his GoFundMe account. He is in the hospital right now in very, very serious condition. They need to raise $350,000. But Rich is he's an American hero. And so there's a lot of people that wanted to know about this. And so, yes, it is posted up on Facebook. It is posted up on Gab and the rest. So take a look at that. And he is, we've had him on the show, and he literally put his career on the line for this country. Now, also on the regional front, I want to talk about this. It's coming to us from the National Pulse. The Bush Foundation paid millions by Chinese Communist Party, calls on the United States to stop demonizing the CCCP. As there are people out there masquerading as Republicans, masquerading as patriots, masquerading as Christians. They love this country when they really don't. And they're actually operating against it for their own financial gain or whatever other motive. So take a look at some of those articles up on Gab. And that is The Briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page. Share it with your friends and family. You can also find me on Gab, WeSpeak, MeWe, and a whole bunch of other ones. MAGABook, Twilight, a whole bunch of other platforms. Follow me there. Take the time to set these things up and follow me there. If you can't set them off, set up one. And that being Gab. And remember, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. I want to give a special shout out to Tom Reed, who runs the American Christian Network, for doing such a great job over the years and really allowing the truth to be told in a time when the truth is being censored everywhere. So a special shout out to Tom Reed. All right. It is my honor to introduce once again on Patriot Radio, Michael Cutler of the Michael Cutler Hour. And also, he is a senior special agent, retired of the former INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, way back when we had that one. And you can go to his website at michaelcutler.net. Michael, it's always great to have you on Patriot Radio. How are you doing, my friend?
I am terrific. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to join you as well. Thank you so much for having me. And for covering these important topics, because we've really got a problem with the media. We've got a problem with the truth. And these aren't even left-right issues. They're right-wrong issues. Full disclosure, I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. The Democrats are no longer Democrats. They've become totalitarian. They've become fascist. And just a thought before we get into the topic, because I had made this point with some other folks that it really resonated. You know, we've got kids running around claiming to be the anti-fascists. I really wish that every American child in every school would have to see the footage of D-Day and other major battles of the Second World War. The true anti-fascists, ladies and gentlemen, I would submit, were the members of the U.S. Armed Forces and our allies who laid down their lives or came home grievously wounded, defeating the Nazis, the fascists, the Third Reich, and so forth. They are the anti-fascists. What do you think of that concept?
I love it. And it's exactly right. And I agree with you 100%. They should be made to see some of this stuff. And people say, why would you force somebody to watch something so graphic? And it's because you don't understand the sacrifice until you see it with your own eyes.
No, and you know, my family was decimated in the Holocaust. I owe America not only my life. My mother was able to get out of Poland. We're Jewish. My mother's mother, my grandmother, for whom I was named, was killed by the Nazi bums. My mother's family was decimated in the Holocaust. And there's no way of putting sugar on it, nor should we. My first wife, who died tragically of cancer at age 33, her parents lived through the Holocaust. Her mother was in a concentration camp. My goodness, what we're witnessing in America today, before we get to my key topic of immigration, I just want you all to understand that when you start to vilify one group of citizens against another group of citizens, we've seen this act before. It led to the Holocaust. You don't hold people ever responsible for those factors they have no control over. You can't control how tall you are, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, or as you get older, if you have hair or don't. How in the world do you make people accountable for those things that are beyond their control? Because once you do that, they become irredeemable. There's nothing they could do to be right because they're inherently wrong and evil. Is that not the message of this insanity of critical race thinking?
It's exactly right. They're trying to create an alternative reality, and yes, they're trying to destroy the English language on top of it so that they can do this and they can use it as a mechanism of control. There's a great book written by Joseph Piper that talks about this idea of the abuse of a language, the abuse of power. That's exactly what they're doing, 100%.
And by the way, there was another book before that that I quote frequently. You know, I've convinced enough people finally to stop talking about being politically correct. It's Orwellian newspeak. Read 1984, and it lays out in graphic detail a prescient view of where we now are. At a time of tyranny, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, isn't it?
Amen, it is. And right now, they're trying to demonize people that love this country on the inside, and at the same time, let the borders just be wide open for who knows what to come across. I talked to somebody that was down at the border last week, and they were telling me some pretty horrific things that are happening down there. Bring our listeners up to speed. What's going on?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want everyone to understand, I'm going to be a little bit of a mythbuster. There's a focus right now on the Mexican border, as well there should be. Okay, let's be clear about it. Yeah. But we are not a nation of four border states, but 50 border states. And while everyone is watching what's happening on the border, what's happening at the Canadian border? What's happening at our international airports when aliens seek entry into the United States? You know, Donald Trump did a lot of good things and did a lot of wrong things in terms of messaging. When he turned 200 people roughly around because they came from countries that couldn't be vetted, and the ACLU brought out the rent-a-mob, oh, my God, these people had visas. Do you know that in the final year of his presidency, the Obama administration denied entry to 205,000 aliens who came to ports of entry, either with visas or under the aegis of the visa waiver program, and denied them entry because the inspectors at the port of entry found them inadmissible. If you want to know what makes someone inadmissible, there isn't a single word that deals with race, religion, or ethnicity. I promise you, if that was the issue, I couldn't have enforced those laws for 30 seconds, let alone the 30 years of my career. It's about aliens. By the way, go to Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. If you go to my articles, you can find them at Front Page Magazine, frontpagemag.com. I also write for U.S. Inc. Incorporated, U.S. Incorporated, but it's inc.org. And I also have been writing for the American Conservative. And I always put the links in so you can see the law so you can verify it and use it as reference. Under Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182, aliens who have dangerous communicable diseases are to be excluded, along with aliens who are dangerously mentally ill, aliens who are terrorists and criminals, human traffickers, drug smugglers, spies, and all of those categories. Then we get to aliens who have become a public charge or if they work with displaced American workers. So we're a nation of 50 border states. The Mexican border has been erased by this administration. The border wall was an important issue. It's not the solution by itself. You know, we're talking about a system. And by the way, for those of you who have heard the lies, oh, my God, it's a wall of hate to try to keep Mexicans out. I'm going to tell you something interesting. The border wall was never designed to stop a single person from entering the United States. Let me repeat that, that I haven't lost my mind, I promise you, although my wife might disagree with me. But the border wall was never designed to keep people out of the country. It does not block ports of entry. All that the purpose of the wall was is to funnel all traffic, both people and cargo, merchandise, and so forth, through ports of entry so that they can be screened and a record of entry created. It's similar to the cattle run at the airport that you go through to get to the TSA inspector to make certain that you're not on a no-fly list, that you don't have a weapon that you're bringing on the airplane. Nobody in their right mind would get on an airplane if they saw fellow passengers sneaking past TSA. The port of entry serves the same function for the United States. I know I did that job as an inspector for the first 4 years of my career before I became a special agent. So you're trying to keep people out who are fugitives from justice, criminals, and people who would take jobs of Americans, and you're also keeping an eye out for people with diseases and so forth. What in the world is wrong with an orderly process that makes certain that people who come in are properly screened? And yet you had politicians on both sides of the aisle who were opposed to the wall. Why? They're globalists. Because to the Chamber of Commerce, to the American Immigration Lawyers Association, that border is an impediment for their wealth. And in fact, I was told that by some of these folks in the midst of congressional hearings, and they called for a recess. You know, I testified before something like 17 hearings in the House and Senate. I gave testimony to the 9/11 Commission. I'm trying to wonder why I bothered wasting my time. Because every single thing that Biden and his administration have done violates in direct opposition to the findings and recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. I'm a New Yorker. My neighbors died on 9/11. The ashes landed on my house. And you have sanctuary cities giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens. The 19 hijackers, according to the 9/11 Commission, in the aggregate used more than 360 false names, including driver's licenses. Airplanes, to my knowledge, have not been used in a single terror attack since 9/11. Motor vehicles are the conveyance of choice. All over the world, we've seen terrorists using buses, trucks, and cars, both to carry explosives, to move terrorists, or to run people down. The bombing at the World Trade Center in 93 involved two illegal aliens. One rented the van, the second one drove it. These were visa violators. They set off a bomb that killed six, injured 1,000, inflicted over $500 million in damage, almost brought the towers down, in which case we might have had hundreds of thousands of dead bodies. Think about that. A month earlier, an attack at the CIA involved a Middle Eastern terrorist who drove a van, again, a motor vehicle, into the parking lot of the CIA, jumped out with an AK-47 and opened fire. So we're giving people driver's licenses. We can't verify who they are, but the cities around the country are putting up concrete barriers against car bombs. Meanwhile, we don't know who's behind the wheel of the vehicles. And if you get a license in any state, you can go clear across the country to any other state, rent a vehicle, and carry out an attack. And Joe Biden is okay with this, apparently. The 9/11 Commission made it crystal clear that the only reason 9/11 and other similar attacks were possible was because of multiple failures of the immigration system. In fact, there have been hearings about how Hezbollah, think about the situation with Iran in my article that's out on Front Page magazine. They just published it, in fact, yesterday. The title, Iranian Goal of Death to America, Aided and Abetted by Radical Democrats, Biden's immigration policies fulfill the wishes of the 9/11 terrorists. Think about that. So we now have a situation where Joe Biden and all these other Democrats and some Republicans are happy with open borders because they've been bribed by the open borders crowd. We have narcotics flowing into the country at a level we've never seen before. Tens of thousands of people are dying of drug overdoses. The drug money is flowing to Hezbollah, which is what I started to mention. Hezbollah now is all over Latin America. You think Middle East? Well, it's run by Iran. It originated in Lebanon. But guess what? Hezbollah, by the tens of thousands, operating throughout Latin America, moving aliens and narcotics into the United States, including sleeper agents. So how in the name of anything can you say, not a big deal to let people in, and we're going to let them apply for political asylum? And when you listen to Kamala Harris, I just want you to understand the depth of her lies. You know, my television has become a lie detector. I turn it on. If her mouth is moving, she's lying. It's almost that bad. And she said, well, I'm going to go to these other countries and address the root cause of illegal immigration, meaning poverty in these other countries. Well, that's fine. We should look at it. Donald Trump was looking at it. However, that's not the only reason people are coming here, and there's no such thing as an economic refugee. That's not legal. The only way you get political asylum in the United States is to be able to articulate a credible fear that because of your race, religion, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or political beliefs, you face persecution or worse in your home country. Period. The fact that you're living in poverty does not qualify you to apply to enter the United States and stay here. All those people that have been interviewed, why are you coming to America? I want a better life. And people say, well, Mike, don't you feel bad for those people? I do. I spent half my career with the Drug Task Force. I've arrested terrorists. My first fraud investigation caused me to trip over a terror plot in Israel back in 1976. From that day forward, I had a wonderful working relationship with the Israeli National Police. That's one of the reasons the 9/11 Commission reached out to me after 9/11 and asked me to go to Washington and furnish them with a deposition. And then I was questioned by members of the commission to find out what we need to do to prevent getting hit again. So visa fraud was an issue. Identity documents were an issue. Secure borders were an issue. And where is Biden and where is Kamala Harris in all this? And we don't only have aliens coming up to the Mexican border from Latin America, but from all over the world. And once they get in, and everyone's fascinated with how many arrests there are, well, they're being released into the interior of the United States. We have very few agents doing interior enforcement. That was my mission as an agent. And I'm going to tell you something interesting. Interior enforcement is the key to border security. Because I always love asking people, well, how many times does an alien have to attempt to run the border before they make their way into the United States? And people say to me, you mean there's a specific number? I said, no, but there's a little mathematical formula. It's one times more than the number of times they're caught. So if an alien gets stopped eight times and makes it on the ninth attempt, then it's nine for that person. Maybe they make it on the third attempt. Maybe it's the fifth attempt. But the point is, if you are sufficiently determined to make it to the United States, you're going to make it. And when you get to the interior, there's nothing there. It's hollowed out by design. And if you look at the way the Department of Homeland Security was created by President George W. Bush, he violated the Homeland Security Act. In fact, John Hostetler, Republican chairman for the House Immigration Subcommittee, was crystal clear on it. He went, in fact, the Republicans called Bush out all the time. He created a nightmare. He came to call the Department of Homeland surrender because all we have are 6,000 ICE agents for the whole country, and most of the time they're not doing immigration work because they folded immigration in with customs and at the airport. It's agriculture for the interior. It's Secret Service and TSA and the GSA police. And all kinds of other agencies that have no relevance to immigration enforcement. The real key is interior enforcement, to go after the fraud, to go after the employers who hire them, to break up human trafficking rings, to go after the crooked lawyers. If you don't have agents, it's not going to work. And the lies are unbelievable, and some people are just being misled. I was listening to Congressman Ford on Fox and Friends, or I'm sorry, the Five last night on Fox, though. And he said, well, these people are paying taxes. We should allow them to stay. You know, we heard the same thing from Caitlyn Jenner. Well, if they've been living here for so long, of course we should let them stay. So here's what I want you folks to understand. There will be no capacity to interview the numbers of people we're talking about. That's right. Joe Biden says he wants an amnesty for 11 million. Yale University pegs the number at more than double that. I think that's a low number. It's probably 30 million. Do you think we can interview 30 million people? Do you think we can conduct field investigations? Absolutely not. Whatever they say will have to be presumed to be truthful. It takes minutes to approve an application. It can take days to deny an application. So when politicians say, well, we have to clear up the backlog, what it means is get out the rubber stamp and start approving everything. Put it in perspective. 19 hijackers were coming up on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. 19 hijackers on 9/11 killed more Americans than we lost to the entire Japanese fleet at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. And the death count from 9/11 is still continuing. But now here's the number nobody talks about. They could immediately, these legalized aliens, if God forbid were that stupid and corrupt, could bring in all of their minor children and their spouses. Let's say on average, we have 25 million aliens who get lawful status. Let's say on average, they bring to America 4 children each. And that's a very optimistic number because Mayorkas, the head of DHS, has a track record of approving any application that lands on anyone's desk. He removed people from their jobs if they refused to approve applications. Think about that. So let's be wildly optimistic and say that only 4 kids per legalized alien. Do the math. We could be looking at the entry, think of it, of 100 million foreign children. They don't speak English, immediately have to go to school. If you want to look about the talk about the environment, you come to America, whether it's permanently, whether it's temporary, you need more than a pillow. You need water. And there's been predictions of endemic droughts in the West. I just wrote an article about that also. We have a shortage of water. What's the solution? A flood of humanity. Not a flood of water, a flood of humanity. Everyone needs water. I did a little bit of research. On average, the average person needs 82 gallons of water per day. That does not include the water needed to irrigate the farmland to produce the food to feed everybody. And every person needs at least an acre of land for the food that they need to eat. What sense does that make? Everybody who's here needs transportation, hospital care, you name it. The impact on the environment, the impact on the economy, the impact on the education and health systems and transportation systems would be devastating. We would implode. America could become Venezuela overnight. And put that all into perspective. And then I was listening to former Congressman Ford say, well, they're paying taxes. I do a lot of public speaking. I remember having lunch with a couple of generals before my presentation. In fact, last year I was very honored, 2 years ago, one of the people in my audience had just returned from the space station. And so this, I believe he was a colonel, came to me and he said, you know, Mr. Cutler, these people pay taxes. If we remove them, what will we do for that tax money? I said, Colonel, stop and think about what you just asked me. How much money does the average illegal alien earn? He said, gee, I don't know. I said, do you think they make more than $15 an hour? He said, probably not. I said, $15 an hour works to $30,000 a year. How much tax do you pay on $30,000 a year? And if you claim dependents, you wind up with the earned tax credits. So not only don't you pay taxes, the federal government will send you money. And what aliens typically do, and there have been hearings about this, is they will claim aliens and dependents back in their home country. I promise you, the IRS does not hop on an airplane to check out their claim. They just send them the money. While Joe Biden wants to increase funding for the Internal Revenue Service by $100 billion. That's right. I didn't misspeak. $100 billion to ramp up IRS enforcement while we're ignoring immigration enforcement. So these aliens are not going to be paying income tax. They're going to be getting money from us. They're probably getting food stamps. If they have a child in the United States, that child is getting a free education. In New York, it costs $25,000 per year per child. So how much money are they earning? How much tax are they really paying? What are they paying tax on? They buy a pair of work boots. They buy a jacket. They're going to pay sales tax. And meanwhile, all they need is one visit to the ER without medical insurance. We don't turn people away in the ER. By law, we're not allowed to. What tax exactly are you talking about that we need? And when they send money back last year, Mexico got over $30 billion in remittances. That's money that was drained out of our economy, and that's only the visible money. What exactly do you think that economic impact looks like? And he looked at me with his mouth hanging open. He said, you're the first person to raise this issue. I said, yes, there is a mythology. They're part of the economy, and they're paying taxes. Wow. Think about that.
Well, yeah,
here's
absolutely.
The problem. I hope I'm making sense, Matt.
No, you absolutely are. And I mean, the problem in addition to that, that doesn't even count all the people that are trying to sneak across the border, and not just the border with Mexico, but the Canadian border, more importantly,
that's why
I think.
Making that point, yeah. And the visa violators. And how many terrorists do we need among them to have a catastrophe?
Exactly.
How many fugitives from justice do we need? Think about that. How many Americans are being displaced in the workplace by foreign workers so they can no longer pay the bills? You see, because of an influx of foreign workers, wages are being suppressed. Not only are Americans losing their jobs, but wages are being held down. The meatpacking industry 30 years ago paid almost $20 an hour. Now they're paying $12 an hour. Forget inflation. Even in the raw numbers, the money was cut in half. And so you have Americans who are becoming homeless. No one talks about that. Here's the problem. Everyone tells us the immigration system is broken. And I've come to the unhappy conclusion that it's not a broken system. The immigration system has morphed from a law enforcement system that's designed to protect public safety, national security, public health, and the jobs and wages of Americans, which is rational. It has now become a delivery system. It delivers an unlimited supply of cheap, exploitable labor. We're not just talking about the legal aliens, we're talking about the high-tech visas. In fact, I had a big argument with Bob Goodlatte, the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He since left. He was an immigration lawyer who specialized in H-1B visas. And when I challenged him, it says Alan Greenspan, who testified for Chuck Schumer back in 2009, said that the solution to wage inequality is make American high-tech workers compete with their foreign counterparts to slash that wage premium. And if we could cut the money they're earning, because they're being paid much too much money, then you greatly reduce inequality in wages between Americans with skills and those with lesser skills. Well, Goodlatte didn't want to have any part of that argument. When I finally cornered him, he blurted out. He said, look, there are brilliant people in India. I said, you know, my late wife, may she rest in peace, was brilliant. She was a Phi Beta Kappa graduate MBA in computer science. And many of her colleagues, Americans, had comparable credentials. And not knowing what else to say, so, well, my son knows a lot about computers, and he'd love to have tens of thousands of brilliant Indians come to America, and he wouldn't talk to me after that. Well, wow. I looked up his son, Bobby Goodlatte. Look him up. You'll see. I'm telling you the truth. Bobby Goodlatte, Bob Goodlatte's son, is a young man. I think he's in his 30s. He got his start with Zuckerberg at Facebook. He's what's known as an angel investor. He has so much money, he doesn't know where to invest it all. Where did he make the money? In the computer industry. How do you make that money? By displacing Americans with much lower paid people from India. Okay? So we're destroying incentives for American children. We're transferring intellectual property to countries that then leak it to our enemies. We've educated almost all the Chinese engineers and programmers who are now posing a threat to America's national security. But here's the other part of it. That system also delivers an unlimited supply of foreign tourists, and to the immigration lawyers out there, an unlimited supply of clientele. Think about that.
That's right.
The purpose of comprehensive reform was not to get the aliens out of the shadows. You hire more agents if that's your goal. Do you know what the goal was? To move the aliens into the waiting rooms of the immigration law firms. Zoe Lofgren is now the chairperson of the House Immigration Subcommittee. I've testified in front of Zoe before. She is a high-ranking member of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. How do you spell conflict of interest? Think about what is happening. The lawyers are making out. The banks are making out because the cost of real estate has gone through the roof. That means if you want to buy a house, you need a bigger mortgage, which means more money for the banks. People who own real estate are making out. People who have companies that want to sell stuff are happy because we're sending them more customers. Who's not happy? Unemployed or underemployed Americans, homeless Americans, Americans who've fallen victim to the violence of transnational criminals and fugitives. And when people say it's pro-immigrant to open the borders, the most likely victim of transnational criminals, they don't just come from Latin America because human nature is human nature. I've arrested people from everywhere. Japan, England, Canada, Israel, Jamaica, it doesn't matter. People are people. But the criminals live within the ethnic immigrant communities that most closely resemble them. And it's right. Those people in those communities most likely to suffer the violence because of those criminals.
That's exactly right. We have about 30 seconds left. Can people go to get more information? That goes by fast, I know. Where can people go to get more information, get educated on these things?
Sure. MichaelCutler.net is my own personal website. I do the Michael Cutler Hour Blog Talk Radio Friday nights for an hour, 7 p.m. East Coast time. You can check out my podcast. I write for frontpagemag.com. I also write for usinc.org and for the American Conservative. But get involved, folks, as we celebrate Independence Day. Please remember that democracy is not a spectator sport. We are a fellow American's keeper. We need to focus on what makes us most similar, not what makes us less similar and divide us. We need to stay united. Remember what Lincoln said, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Amen. Michael Cutler, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and keep up the fight. Happy Independence Day.
Thank you. Same to you. Stay well. Be safe, everybody.
You too. Blessings. All right, Michael Cutler of the Michael Cutler Hour, a retired senior special agent of the former INS Immigration and Naturalization Service. You can check him out at michaelcutler.net, michaelcutler.net. Want to end the show with this. What he just brought up is just the tip of the iceberg, and it's not just the southern border, but also the northern border where these things are happening. In the second chapter of the Communist Manifesto, they talk about abolishing nationalities, in other words, getting rid of nation states and national ethos. We're Americans. Part of this is defending our border. We are Americans. And as we celebrate Independence Day, we're always dependent on Jesus Christ. There's no king but Jesus. We have freedom and we have liberty, so that we can expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ, preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, proclaim freedom to the captives, as we start almost every show. And that is why we're Americans. This is Matt Shea. Thanks for joining me today on Patriot Radio. Keep up the fight.